You ready? Okay, it's, let's see, what time? 6 o'clock. We call the meeting to order. And we're gonna have a roll call first, anyway. So PJC Supervisor Rodriguez is present. Supervisor Thomas, Supervisor Nordica, or Nordigian, whatever you prefer.
Or Starzak, whatever.
Or whatever, something like that. And of course, I'm present. Supervisor Rose, Supervisor Carroll, and Supervisor Decker are excused. And Supervisor Nagleski is present. Okay, looks like we do not have a quorum. So we're not gonna act on anything that requires a vote. So therefore, item number seven.
And there's five for a quorum?
Yeah. Item number seven will be taken out at the next meeting. Will be postponed to the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Citizen comments. Any citizen comments? Any citizen comments? No citizen comments? Citizen comments are closed. Chair, supervisor comments, I really don't have much to report. And supervisor comments. Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I might have mentioned this at a county board meeting, but forgive me if I have not. Judiciary and Law is going to tour dispatch. We haven't set a date yet, but that'll be sometime over the summer. One of the supervisors on the committee just had a knee replacement, so we'll wait till he's a little bit more mobile. So we'll just, I'll let you know, you know, weeks in advance, but just so it's on your guys' radar that that will be over the summer this time. And then Country Thunder tours will happen as well, but that will be only prior to the beginning of Country Thunder. Given previous events, so
given the previous thunder, is that what you said?
Given the previous thunder, exactly. So if you want to go, reach out to myself and I can set that up, or reach out to the sheriff and his team. They'll get that set up as well. So thank you,
Supervisor Thomas.
All right, just a couple things. The Racial Equity Ethnicity Commission met last Thursday. They voted to have Xavier as the chair. Brian Gonzalez is the vice chair. Then Xavier appointed chairman for the subcommittees, which were trying to think who was who. Brian Gonzalez is for the law enforcement. And I think no one wanted to take the health one, so Andy Berg is doing that. For the housing, that's Courtney. His real estate background and so forth complemented that. So they're off and running. So that's that part. I just didn't know if Dave Garrison was to be here. Maybe you know. I was just curious. I didn't see it on the agenda, but I was curious on the riot report on that group that was doing the follow-up. There was, that's just a question for later, or if there was any update on that. And then I guess being around this for going into year two here, I just didn't know if we as a executive committee, if we start to create a theme or a focus on the budget for this year to give any kind of direction so we can start looking at things months ahead instead of stuff that happened, you know, maybe later in the review cycle. If we create any, is that appropriate to create any kind of priorities? Since we ultimately, we don't design the budget, but we end up voting and approving on it.
But it comes out of staff, our committee meetings would handle that, wouldn't it?
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
You know, because does it sort of start from the top down, like from an executive?
We had the budget vision before. There is going to be another budget vision. Somebody can bring it up pretty much and be talked with everyone, whatever.
Yeah.
And then anybody that has got questions or ideas that can send that out to, and they will look at that.
Yeah, okay, I'm just
that's
curious.
Pretty much the only thing with you know.
Do you know when that next budget vision's gonna be, roughly?
That is not a date set yet.
And then the last thing, and you made me think of.
Hopefully, somewhere, sometime in July, we're thinking about it, but that is not a date set.
Okay.
Okay, and then you said something about 911 dispatch, I don't know if you guys saw the news last night, but we had a 911 dispatcher, McCoy, I think was her last name?
Yeah.
That she got a call, someone was giving birth in their car, and she walked them through the process. Her, and it was either her husband or partner, someone in the car, so I don't know if there's a way for, I don't know if they do that internally, but it'd be sort of cool if we brought her maybe to a county board meeting and acknowledged her, that's pretty exceptional, she's been doing it for 14 years. And first time she's ever went from beginning to end on something like that, most of the time they call the ambulance and they don't know, it turns out, but she was on the phone with them the whole time. I mean, it could just be something that, you know, that department gets lost a lot, right, they're the front end of every first responder, so.
Well, maybe the chair could, you could probably do a proclamation or something, right?
Probably can.
Yeah.
I will talk to the county executive.
I just think any attention we can give to those 911 callers would be great.
Something together or some, or then maybe we can discuss it and do some.
Okay, all right, that's all I had.
Okay, anybody else?
Just a quick, Highway KD opened up today from the 3 to 4 weeks of construction, that goes between Highway F and Highway 50. Still has to be striped or marked, as they call it. Yeah, that's all I had to report right now. Zach Stock ran the public works meeting, I was not there.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, seeing none, communication, we don't have anything, right, Jennifer?
No.
Okay, approval minutes?
Well, we can't approve them, can we? Oh, there's four.
Yeah, we can approve the minutes, right, or no?
They push it.
Not really, no.
I think we push it to the next meeting.
Everything, okay, that's good, okay. I think we can have Dan Barr speak, right? Well, okay, everybody knows Dan.
Hello.
I asked Dan to come over and give us an update with what's going on at the state level, what WCA is.
Brian, do you want to sit up here?
You can.
We got plenty of space.
Kind of like being the party.
Well, come on, we're a fun group of guys.
He's stretched out over there.
And.
Yeah, so, you know, the chairman, thanks for the invite, always great to come, and we can do it again when the budget wraps up, you know?
Sure.
We can do that. You know, but always great to come and give you guys an update and hopefully provide some information. I kind of wanted, you know, the chair had asked me to talk about childcare issues, it was one of the things he wanted an update on, so I kind of will lay out the situation as it stands. And then there was some action taken, they're kind of not even halfway through the budget yet. And they're, it's a strange budget cycle, nothing's gonna happen until everything happens, and they have agreement on stuff. So we're kind of in a holding pattern to see, there's big debates over shared revenue, you know, one of my big areas that I really take the lead on for WCA and for the Wisconsin, all of our counties, is transportation, and our transportation budget, I'll talk about that a little bit too, but I wanted to start with childcare, so there's a group called Raising Wisconsin, and they launched a year ago back in April of 2022, and they are working with the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, numerous other groups, and their goal is to get about $300 million in state investment into ongoing funding for childcare costs. I think one of the things you may see, and depending where you are, but particularly, I live in the Madison area and talk to people who, you know, are colleagues, and I don't have any kids myself, but, you know, there's some astronomical costs. Now, you have to tell me about Kenosha, I don't know how high it is, but I know that in a lot of places, they're just pretty high, you know, it's a problem. And so a lot of times what happens, you know, you have one person who works, you know, maybe the wife works, and maybe she's got a job with benefits, if she works at a public job or with the schools, or vice versa, could be a man who's in that position too. But, you know, that person then, most of their salary goes to pay for the childcare, especially if you got two, you know, it's like, my colleague was telling me it's about $2,000 a month for daycare, I mean, which is crazy, she's, geez, I can't pay that. And so that's Madison area though, it may not be as high here. But then they carry the benefits, and then, you know, you have another person who makes more income so they can live. So, that being said, this $300 million, you know, would help with childcare costs, would help subsidize it by in lower income levels especially, so we want people working. There's no doubt about that. And so the governor did put that in his budget, this $300 million request. WCA is, like I said, is part of the Raising Wisconsin Coalition. We're supportive of that ask. You know, we will go out and I know Chelsea's working on that, trying to make something happen. You know, it's unclear, and there is some controversy regarding this issue. You know, some would say within the Republican Party and the Republican majorities, and I don't know what they plan to do or how they plan to act on that. It kind of remains unclear. I have my doubts that the full $300 million will get funded. But that being said, they may do something. Some of the debate, you think of it this way. Some would say, well, the costs are so bad, we got to do something. Others would say, hey, you know, if you have kids, having kids is a choice, and it really isn't the government's responsibility to take care of your kids or to provide for them or pay for their child care. So those are some of the schools of thought. And, you know, child care has just become something that's just really gotten expensive, more expensive. And I think during COVID, you saw a lot of people, they even though they were at home or working from home and able to care for their kids while they worked, you know, just to keep not get out of line or not lose their spot at the daycare, they kind of kept paying, which I thought was kind of crazy. You know, some of the stuff I'm hearing, I'm like, this is crazy. So anyway, that's kind of where it stands. They haven't taken any action on it. It's in within the Department of Children and Families, okay, DCF, and it's likely to come up in June. And of course, I'll provide an update on exactly what is done on this particular issue. But if there's anything specific to Kenosha County you want to tell me, and I can bring back and get you answers. But she gave me some stats. She said nearly 50% of programs indicate they could serve more children but can't because of staffing shortages. Obviously, staffing the daycare center is a major problem. 63% of the programs indicate they are lacking, they are facing a staffing shortage. And 15% of programs have a longer than usual wait list. So, you know, even if you want to get in, there's a long wait list, and the prices are high, and so, you know, I don't know. It's
Can we talk about this for a minute? The $300 million, where does that go? Or is it in the form of tax cuts?
Well, I think it's like a stipend. You know, I think
someone is going to have to fill out an application, lack of a better way to say it, and apply for
something. Get a subsidy to
like a voucher or something.
Like a voucher or a subsidy, yes, to reduce their cost of child care.
Right. So here's my thought on this, and I don't know, Michelle would know how much it costs.
A lot.
Yeah. How much do you pay in the summer?
I have 3 kids in daycare, and we spend about $26,000
$28,000
a year.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Okay, so here's, to me, I look at this in a bigger, from down here looking at the whole state. We have a growth issue in this state. People with kids aren't moving here. You know, you look at everything they're building in Kenosha right now, the vast majority of it are apartments that are generally for a single or a couple.
Yep.
Without kids. If we don't find a way, and for me, I don't know what this is going to look like, right? But I think investing money that's going to attract families here is going to help us. Ask the school districts what they're doing with their declining enrollment.
Shut right? schools down.
They are. They're, you know, we just shut a school down here. We're going to have to shut another school down probably in another 1 or 2 years. You know, where they went from about 23,000 in enrollment just 10 years ago, and it's going to be 19,000. And because of they're losing their funding, they can't, lack of a better way to say it, the certain things are dropping off, and these kids are going to the private schools, and they completely miss out. So their enrollment is going down even more quickly. But I just think and you'll see this in other countries where people are actually getting paid to have kids and all this other kind of stuff. There's huge subsidies that are going on, especially like in the more mature European countries. I mean, it's amazing, but if they don't take a serious look at how they're going to help young families, you know, maybe you should get paid if you have more than 3. I don't know. All I'm just saying is that, you know, it's a changing demographic, and you know, there's the people that can afford it, but then there's going to be a lot more people that can't afford it. You know, it's just like one of these things. But I don't think we can miss out on the opportunity to make Wisconsin a more attractive place to live. You know, you keep.
I think you're hit the nail on the head for all the states, all enrollments now, all across the country. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm a baby boomer, obviously, the word baby boomer. And it just kept going lower and lower, even though there's more kids, more and more than there was in the past with us baby boomers having kids. Obviously, we got to the baby bust years. My kids, they show no interest in having children right now. They're 23, 26, and 29.
Here, no.
You know, even I was late, started, got married late, had kids later in life and all that. So it could. So I just think it's a problem across. I'd like to know, is it just Wisconsin? Is Illinois having the same problem?
Well, we're having
Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana. Are they all? Because let's face it, the schools are built for the baby boomers, period.
Yeah.
That's what they were built for, and that population just isn't there anymore.
Well, and you probably know this, the statistics better than I do, but the country overall in the last census grew about 7.5%. Wisconsin grew at about 3.6%. Kenosha County grew at 1.7%. They took a census 2 years later of Kenosha, and our population was back to what it was in 2010. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, we have other issues that aren't attracting either kids when they went away to school, and now they're going to have their families from moving back. They're not doing that. Whether it's a housing issue or a childcare issue, or
I'll give you the housing issue. What is that part?
I know it's a combination of things, but you know, $300 million is a small drop if we can attract.
So is this a priority for the county?
I don't know if it's a priority for the county. You know, it all depends on a lot of things. I heard from some people that they own child cares,
mm-hmm.
and actually they are against this.
What do they say?
Well, because they say that it's just a few that they want the money, and then what happens? They're going to keep on giving them, you know, to the child care, to people that really don't want to do it, and doing the ones that they do a good job without any, you know,
okay,
what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to keep on going, because they say that, you know, sure, it's a problem, like anybody else, any other business and everything, but if they work diligently and everything, that's what they do. But there is some, and again, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
There is some daycares that they choose to say, hey, come on, bring your kids.
Oh, sure.
The state is paying. Who cares? Come on, bring them in or whatever. So it's like anything else. If it's abused, and there are some that are concerned, very concerned. And that's one of the reasons that I ask what's really going on, because I know they're going around with the county, Kenosha, you know, trying to push for that, some legislators, you know. But again, it's a problem. But how are we going to solve it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Would I say it's a priority for the county? I don't know. But I think
we're lobbying on this, that we support this. You know, Chelsea's working with this this Raising Wisconsin group that is pushing for the $300 million. So Governor put it in, and we'll see. I know that the Republicans are sort of divided. There are some that really like the idea. And there are some that, you know, like you say, they bring up some of those points that some of your daycare players
and
might
that's
make
what,
don't like it.
You know, just like anything else. So would I say it's a high priority for the county?
I don't know that it's somewhere that the county governs. You know, with the schools, for sure, it's an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a county government.
I don't believe so either, but that's my opinion, right. And not knowing, I mean, you know, I like to know, and that's why I appreciate this year for 2 years from both sides. Because again, you hear from one side, it's one way, the other side, it's a different way. So what's right? I don't know.
Yeah. I did plant a seed with superintendent for the schools and with the county exec, not at the same time, over a period of time of converting Wilson Elementary into a child care center for the city, the county, and the school district, since we're all going to be sort of close together. I mean, they got to do something with that building, and if it would be a way to attract and retain employees by offering, you know, some type of child care that was central for all those groups.
Last election, I think every school west of the I had a referendum.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and it was
and they almost all failed too.
Spending or increase the school physical part of the school.
Yeah,
so every single one of them. So I again, we have K-8 schools.
Right.
You don't have the separation of schools.
Yeah.
But it's, you're gonna get them screaming and kicking out there because hey, but we don't see the problem. But again, down here, there may be a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, on the county, we have to address both. So.
Yeah.
Dan, how would the money be distributed? You said a subsidy.
Well, like a voucher, so I think it'd be income based. So, like, you know, if you're higher income, then you're not gonna get as much help or any help. You know, they're trying to focus on, you know, and I think the younger you are, you tend to find people that are starting out, they're gonna struggle a little bit if they're working, but they have kids. And so I think I don't know if it's by age, they don't necessarily do that, but you know, they're gonna target lower income people, working lower income people, I think is the concept here.
I see some, and again, at least just because of few people, it's not doesn't mean everybody does, but over at the Y, they bring them a child care, which they pay, they leave them there, they don't go to work.
Yeah.
They just go whatever to do it.
Just drop the kid.
That's
to the bar.
So, you know, basically
drop the kid and take the
problem
time.
Is are they gonna, you know, what is gonna happen? How is that gonna be controlled and how it's gonna be. So, but it's good to know and to hear both sides and see how we can be done.
Yep. Okay. Nope. It's an issue. So just a couple other things that, because the Joint Committee on Finance has been acting now. They usually meet on Tuesdays and or Thursdays, or at least one of the days of the week. And one issue we've kind of targeted, and I'll tell you that it's been a big issue, has been, you know, with our courts and corrections, state public defender pay. And what happens is the state public defenders, you know, at the state level, they pay $70 per hour for a private bar attorney when a staff attorney is not able to take the case. And then, you know, however, if SPD cannot procure a private state bar attorney, the judge will order the county to appoint someone. And the county then pays, it costs $100 per hour. And so a lot of times, to go to 70 from 100 to $100 an hour, it's a pretty good deal. It's like a 1/3 increase. They try to get into that situation where it's on the county dime because the county rates $100 an hour. So we wanted to equalize that to make sure they didn't do that. We wanted the state to say, instead of paying them 70, have them pay 100. Yeah. And then you have the situation where they're trying to fall back on the county. And that's gonna save us money because they won't do that. So that's also very important for state public defenders. For assistant DAs, assistant DAs and assistant state public defenders, there is a hourly wage increase of $8.76. And hourly compensation will increase by that amount in the first year, and in the second year of the budget, there'll be a one-step increase after that. And I had, Chelsea was supposed to give me the amount, she didn't give me the amount of the second step increase, but gonna help out, you know, trying to get quality people who serve as state public defenders and or also our assistant DAs. We need quality people, and you know, some of the quality people, if they can go to a private firm or go do some of their legal work and get paid more, they're gonna do that, and we lose them. And we want quality employees, so they're trying to help us out. That's been a WCA priority for a while, and so that was a success last week on Joint Finance. So that's that. One program I've worked on a lot has been a program known as County Conservation Staffing Grants. Because the state mandates certain conservation elements within the county. And then, you know, what we've tried to do, the state has sort of set, within its administrative rules, they sort of set a bar, and they've said, hey, you know, we want the state, we're gonna help you out, we're gonna fund 100% of the first position. If you have, you know, one conservation position, they'll fund 100%, and the second position 70%, and the third position 50%, to kind of help us out. And some of the county conservation departments have, you know, 8, 9, it depends how what the situation is in the county, of course. But, you know, they help us with three positions. You know, they pay all of the first, 70% of the second, and 50% of the third, see? And that helps us out. And so, but it costs do go up. And right now the base funding for that program on an annual basis is just under $9 million that go to the counties to help out with conservation costs. But that number has not caught up to the actual cost of that 170-50 amount. And so we've said, you know, you're mandating that we have certain positions, you know, you should help us out. And so they have. It's a group called Wisconsin Land and Water, which is essentially the association that represents the state's conservationists. And Conowice County may be a member of that group. They actually, some counties do pay dues to them. very good group, very, very knowledgeable. They were asking for about $18 million. And I said, well, that's quite an increase. I don't know. They said, well, yeah, shoot high, Dan. And, but, you know, anyway, I talked to Representative Todd Novak from the Iowa County Dodgeville area. And then State Senator Romaine Quinn, which is far up north, he represents an area, I'd say it's like Ashland, Bayfield County, Superior, Douglas County. He's got Sawyer County, he's got Barron County. You know, he's got a lot of counties, is what he's got. So he's got Iron County too, he's got. And so I talked to him, and he's in the Senate, Todd Novak's in the Assembly. They did do a motion. They motioned for, you know, $13,500,000 in the first year of the budget. It's a two-year biennium budget. And then 13.7 in the second year, which again was still pretty, I thought, you know, going from 9 to that is good. Well, what they did is they did give us an increase. We went to from 9, just under 9, to about 11 in the first year, and 11.25 in the second year. So it's fiscal year 2023-24, which will start July 1st this year. And then fiscal year 2024-25, which will start July 1st the following year. But then I found out, they came to me, they said, you know, I said, well, this is good. You know, you got to take what you can get. That's like a 20% increase at least. And they said, yeah, well, we're going to give you some more, Dan. So they had motioned for, I don't know what happened with the Fiscal Bureau, but they had picked a number, and because there's an issue paper that gives options, and so that they had chosen one of those options and said, it will go beyond that, we'll pick that option, but we're going to add some additional supplemental funds. And so they're going to clean it. They have a wrap-up motion at the end of the budget. They're going to put some more money in. And I said, well, how much? And they're like, well, we're still kind of debating that, but you're going to get more. So we did pretty good on conservation. That's good news. So, you know, it's a win.
Yeah. Hey, question. This is just completely out of ignorance, because we have these positions in our
county conservation
office? Yeah, in Kenosha County.
Sure. How many people work in your conservation office?
I'm not sure. I cannot tell.
Okay.
I would assume it's probably, pardon me, I would assume, but now hearing how you explain it, I would think maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume that would be through extensions.
That's what I was thinking.
How many people work?
We probably only have one.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we probably have one.
So that's through extensions, yeah.
I mean, like some counties, you know, they don't do as much. I mean, yeah. You know, they're not very.
I know
rural.
That it's somebody, but me to say one, two, or a million.
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's my, yeah.
It's not a million.
You know, keep,
but that's what I mean. So I'm not sure.
Keep in mind that some counties, you know, their planning department and their conservation department are consolidated. They have one department, mm-hmm. And so it could be through your planning and zoning.
Yeah, I was thinking PDAC.
It's with PDAC or well.
What's PDAC?
Planning Development and Education
Extension.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's probably through
so
there.
Yeah, definitely. We have one person with extension that is kind of the trees guy.
Okay.
So probably that's it.
Okay.
So anyway, that's where we are. You know, we're at 11 million, 11.25 for the second year, with more coming in the wrap-up motion. I'll keep people informed on how we do, but you know, we're not in bad shape there. You know, could have been better, could have been worse. We'll see how much more they put in. But they are going to put more money in the wrap-up motion.
Let me back up a little, Dan. We have Mark Jenks, who's the county conservationist. So we do have a department. Land and water conservation, I assume that falls with.
Yeah, land and water.
Okay. So Mark Jenks is the county conservationist. That falls under Division of Planning and Development, so PDEC.
Okay. And they may have other employees in there who work on that sort of thing. And if that's the case, then, you know, you'd get that, you know, for one position, it's 100%, 70, and 50. We just have to make sure it stays funded, which is what I'm trying to do. So, and then I want to talk about shared revenue. Came here for, you guys had a big executive committee last time I was here. A little more interest. There must have been someone said there was some issue in the public that there was an interest. But just a couple of things to know. And I have some bullet points that I've been collecting information. So essentially how this would work, currently we get about $950 million in shared revenue payments from the state. And it's been a pretty stagnant number, okay? And we share that with the towns, we share that with the cities and villages, and the counties get that as well, okay? And right now I can tell you, because I checked, Kenosha County gets $1,398,000 in shared revenue. That's Kenosha right now, okay? So under the current proposal that exists, and there's one that has passed the assembly, and then the Senate's gonna pass roughly the same thing, probably the same, there's, really what's not in question is the dollar amounts. There's other components of these bills that, that the leadership is fighting over on the Republican side, and I think the governor will take what he can get. But essentially, there's $260 million in new funding that will go, that will, I mean, it'll be $260 million more that will go to counties, cities, and villages and towns, in addition to the 950 that I mentioned, okay? So that's good, that helps. And then, you know, counties of that money, of the new money, we're gonna get $68 million in new dollars. So that helps us a lot, okay? And the thing, the reason why we like this 1 cent sales tax, or 20% of the state sales tax, the reason why we like it is because instead of having to have me march down to the Capitol and say, hey, why don't you give us a bump in shared revenue? I don't have to do that because as the economy grows, you'll get more. The downside is when there's a recession or when collections are down, you need to have a rainy day fund because you're gonna get less, you're not gonna get the same payments. But it's a good thing. And then also there's just a couple, you know, there's been some debate about some of the strings that are attached. So there's a maintenance of effort for law enforcement for local governments who get this money, okay? There's no local referendums, these issue-based referendums, like advisory referendums. I mean, you can still have, like, you know, raising your levy, you have a referendum. If there's subsequent action, you can do that. But, like, if someone, like, has an advisory referendum on something specific, like a poll, but you can't do a referendum, say, on, you know, abortion or on, I see a lot of those, or on marijuana, you know, legalizing marijuana. Stuff that you think maybe, or that people think the state should look at, that's out, so...
What do you mean that's out? If we get this additional shared revenue, part of the shared revenue strings are that we don't start making a muckery of stuff with these frivolous referendums.
Yes. And I think the issue is in the legislature that, you know, the Republicans, so in Milwaukee and in Dane County, we've had several referendums on abortion. I think last fall we had one on abortion. I think Milwaukee enacted one too, and it does cost extra money to have those referendums. I forget the amount, but it does cost money to add that onto the ballot. And what Republicans are saying is, hey, you know, you guys are using this to as a tool for Democratic Party turnout, and you know, and so we're going to end that. You know, turn them out some other way. You know, and then the other thing, you know, the Democrats shot back and said, well, you know, yeah, but you know, the real issue is that you Republicans had, you know, referendums on whether to amend the state constitution related to whether there's a work requirement for public benefits and things like that. And Republicans said, ah, but that is a substantive issue of the state, and we're changing our constitution, so we took it to the voters, and it maybe it did or maybe it didn't increase turnout, but you know, again, they want to end these advisory referendums. So those are some of the things. Now, Kenosha County, I'm going to tell you, as I mentioned, you got almost $1.4 million in shared revenue coming in currently. Under the current proposal, and I have a list of all the counties and how much they get, Kenosha would have a 92.9% increase. Mm. Kenosha County would get $1.298, almost $1.3 million in new shared revenue.
So it would almost double?
What's that?
So oh, almost
well,
double.
92% increase.
So we're at 2.7 then?
$2.7 million. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's substantial. Yeah.
So that would help the county out. So
on that same line, did I know this was an issue leading up to starting last year? Does this increase include part of this real estate transfer fee that?
No.
That's not. That's a whole separate issue.
Separate issue.
Yes.
Is that not to get you off track? But that would be. Is that been addressed or is that dead or
we're working on it's another thing
that I believe go ahead I'm sorry
well we can, I can address that next time with the real estate transfer fee. I want to say it's dead.
It's in a
holding
life
header.
Support
okay. yeah
it's a life
header.
Support
yeah, life support
to
yeah.
put it in place or to remove it
yeah.
Is it life support or hospice?
Sounds like it has an NG tube and it's touch and go.
Something like that.
And some issues sometimes, something like that, for example, because they're doing shared revenue, they're doing a lot of other things, they'll get put on the back burner.
Going back to the shared revenue,
yeah.
What do you think the chances are, or assume, that Senate
Well, Senate's gonna pass their version.
And
What were the strings that you sent something about? I understand about crimes. What was it about police?
Oh, you have to have a maintenance of effort.
Okay.
You understand? So like, you
they don't want you defunding the police.
They don't want to defund the police. Right. That's right. They they want to avoid that.
You know what I'm looking at now is there is a discrepancy or between the Senate and the Assembly.
Correct.
Where now the Assembly is saying, well, the Senate say we'll try to work it out together. The Assembly say, nope, this is what it is, and we're not going to talk. I mean, come on, it's what's going on? So what are the chances that something is going to come up in the near future without trying to split?
I put the percentage odds that something gets passed at 90%. I'm pretty confident that it will.
In the near future, or it's going to be a big discussion that it's going to kind of put other stuff in the back burner or not go through because they're going to fight the same group pretty much. They're going to fight over things that they should
I think that 90% chance something passes or better. I think it'll be done by July 1st.
And as you said that between the Senate and the Assembly, the math is about the same. It's just the strings are a little bit different.
Well, so, and this isn't pertaining to Kenosha, I didn't bring it up, but you know, Milwaukee, there's an allowance for the city to have a 2% additional sales tax with their pension debt liability. And then for the county, 0.33% to help pay for their pension debt liability. There's major problems with the Milwaukee pension system. Really has a problem.
That's the biggest issue.
Yeah,
right
and,
now.
And so Robin Voss, and I spoke to Robin Voss yesterday.
Okay.
You know, he had spoken at one of the events that I helped organize. Anyway, Robin wants a referendum. You know, he's and the Senate doesn't. Some of the senators don't. Robin's got a lot to say about this. Robin would tell you, hey, tell you what, you know. You want to substitute your judgment for the people who are going to pay for this? I don't think so. You know, you don't want a referendum, but, you know, when it comes to all this other spending you want to do, you know, no problem. You know, we're all for it. It's great. Now, we give you the opportunity to make your case to the public.
Just the Milwaukee area. You're
that's
right.
Just Milwaukee. Yeah, we don't have this anywhere else.
And they should have it for themselves.
What's that?
It should be a referendum.
Sure, that's what Robin would say. Yeah, I understand. A lot of people feel that way. Milwaukee and I think some of the senators are saying, yeah, but you know what? Because Milwaukee's financial situation with the pension debt liability, you talk about the baby boomers, a lot of those old employees who have been there have retired or are retiring. And with that being the case, every year the county's taking on paying, if they got to pay them, they're required to pay them. The state's the payer of last resort. The city's in real trouble. They could go broke. County's in better shape. They made some cuts and they've had, you know, Scott Walker and Chris Abley they kind of prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
Swath of retirements that they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
So the root cause is the retirements?
What's that?
The root cause is the retirements?
Yeah, because you got to pay them their pension. Yeah.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. But that's through, okay.
You know, so that eats up a lot of the levy that comes in, and thus they have less. And also Milwaukee County is having problems with transit. I've worked with Milwaukee quite a bit. They're one of our members, but they're kind of increased.
Milwaukee County basically is backwards. They've goofed up their budget, their spend, their retirement program. And when you start retiring people in their 50s, you kind of screwed it up.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to pay for a long time.
Sure.
So, but those are their burdens.
Yeah.
Let them carry their burdens.
Well, so they are. I mean, it's not state. This is separate from this package. So the county itself and the city would enact a sales tax to pay for their pension system.
Right.
The rest of the state wouldn't pay. Now, unless you go there and shop.
Unless you go there and shop. Right.
You know, you'd pay.
Yeah, go to a ball game, you pay. But does it establish a precedent or is it narrow enough that it's protected? In other words, if we, Kenosha County, said, hey, you know, we're overburdened in our pension, we want 0.25% on.
You'd have to get legislative approval to do that. But
you've established a precedent for it. So.
Sure. I mean, that remains to be seen if they allow for that.
For the field.
What's that?
You had it for the field, that 0.1% increase in sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go through legislative to get it.
Yep, that's right. So. Oh, for Miller Park.
Yeah, Miller Park.
Yep, that's right. Yep. So those are some of the things, anyway, that are in some of these points that you guys all make are points that, as they debate this issue, that's what's being said. Is it going to set a precedent? Why can't other counties do this? Why are we making exceptions for them? They were irresponsible. Others would say, well, you know, that was past leadership. There was, I think the guy who was in Tom Emmett, you know, you may remember, got him, you know, he was in the news a little bit. There were golden parachutes, you know, there was for some, you know, all sorts.
Well, they had a ton of money from the dot-com boom in the late 90s.
In the late 90s.
And they had more money in their funds than they knew what to do with.
And they wasted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they were just shelling it out.
Okay.
So that's some of the, basically, I think the biggest issue that is holding this up is probably that issue, like, should there be a referendum or not? Now, there's some other.
The Milwaukee thing.
I think there's some other, and some of the senators who kind of support not having the referendum say, you know, it may not pass, and, you know, we need it to pass because they're going to go broke if it don't. And then state's the pair of last resort under our laws. You got to pay the pension, and so we have to pay for it anyway. So they're saying, just let them pass it and do it. The public's not, and they got to be careful when they talk about this, but the public doesn't know how bad it is. They don't have all the, and then Robin says, well, you have to inform the public. It's, you know, your job, and you have to make your case. And, you know, and you don't know what's best for the public. They know what's best for them, and let them decide. And so those are some of the debates going on back and forth. So there's that. Transportation, just got a call today from one of the representatives, and they're doing a motion for a 6% GTA increase, which would be great. 3% the first year, 3% the second year. Right now, GTA payments are about $127 million a year annually to all the counties. And that money is distributed to all 72 counties based on a formula of lane miles, population, and a 6-year rolling average of your transportation expenses. And this DOT distributes that money. And so 6% would bring us maybe to about $135 million statewide. That'd be great. I talked to the towns, because we're all 6%, we all get 6%. I talked to the towns. Joel Ruth is their lobbyist, good guy. And he said, Dan, we kind of had proposed 10. And he says, let's go back and ask them for 10. And so we're going to talk to see if we can get 10. But, you know, well, again, we'll take what we can get. I think 6 would be okay. But the towns want 10, so I'll support it. We'll support it.
Maybe we ask for 10 and we get 8?
That could be. Well, the governor put an 8. And they tend not to go with what the governor wants. I'm going for that.
Well, good. Make it 9.
Yeah, we can go 9. We'd love to have 9. So but in addition to that, there's a program. It was known as the Local Supplemental Transportation Program. It was established in the 19 budget. For shovel-ready projects. Some of that money was used on County KR. That's the road I always take to get out here. I love County KR.
Mm-hmm. Good, we want the state to take it over. Keep it. We want the state to keep it.
Yeah, well, I've heard some discussions about that. But mm-hmm. Anyway, that program, we wanted to make it permanent. It was originally intended to be one-time money. I think we're making some progress on that. We'll see. And then we'd like more money in the local supplemental.
Sure.
Now it's known as LRIP-S, Local Road Improvement Program S. There's traditional LRIP, LRIP discretionary, non-discretionary, which, you know, again, it's projects that are led to bid. And then there's this sort of enhanced LRIP that they developed, LRIP supplemental. So that's kind of the deal with transportation. And of course, we're trying to get new sources of funding for the transportation fund. We'd like the state to dedicate 50% of the taxes collected on auto vehicle parts. And then also we are trying to establish a sales tax related to the we're going to raise the sales tax we want to raise the sales tax on electric vehicles and hybrids and dedicate that to the transportation fund so that the amount that we collect from hybrids is equivalent to what we otherwise would take in gas taxes.
Right.
So
yeah.
That stabilizes our fund. So those are the funding sources we're working on.
What's the governor's position on that?
You know, here's the thing, and here's our case to the governor, because some of his, you know, some of the people on the left, you know, or environmentally driven people might oppose that, because they'd say, hey, you should be rewarded because
right.
you're helping to clean up the environment. You know, however, our point, well, that's what how some people feel. And now our point to him would
facts.
Be, what's that?
They need the facts.
Well, our point, well, I understand that too. But our point to the governor would be, hey, you know, you want to try and do this now, because as more and more people go to that form of transportation, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be more politically unpopular. Now, there's only 1% of people that drive these vehicles, so, you know, no one cares. Mm-hmm. Republicans love the idea because, you know, a lot of the people that drive them, they tend to be centered in McMadison, you know, and that's not; those are not Republican areas. So for them, it's just great, you know, no problem, because there's no pushback.
they like it because we're missing out on gas tax.
Well, right, and they're going to pay. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's
that's what I don't think people understand is you're not de-incentivizing green cars.
No. I mean,
you're not paying into the.
You'd still pay the same amount, essentially. We're trying to work it out where you pay the same amount that you otherwise would pay in gas tax. So.
Right.
But WCA supports that. WCA supports the 50% of the auto vehicle parts. And so now I talked to Robin again yesterday because I had a transportation. It's called TDA. They had a drive-in, good organization. And I talked to Robin. And Robin, you know, he really likes the EV sales tax component that we talked about. He still needs to weigh the auto. He's worried about the general fund and, you know, in the future, if we keep taking money from the general fund and changing the use. And I said, well, Robin, this is a perfect use for these dollars because it really is transportation related. It makes sense we'd share it half with the general fund. But he said, well, you know, at some point we want to get there, but we have to protect the general fund for future years. If we go nuts here, we could have a deficit. And, you know, I get that, and so we'll see what he can do. We may not get to 50%, but we could see some improvements. There was already a smaller portion that goes in, but we'd like 50%, so we'll see what we can do. Yeah. That would help us with new money into the transportation fund.
You know, Dan, with electric cars, it's not just the loss of tax from fuel.
Yep.
It's degradation of roads. They're a 1.6 time weight ratio to a standard vehicle, so you're increasing wear and degradation. Your cost center is higher. So you have to think more broadly than just these items with them.
Okay.
Charging station taxes are somehow, we need to recoup that because it's lost revenue.
Sure.
And they still expect the roads. In fact, they expect them to be smoother.
Yeah.
So those cars don't do so well on all the bumps.
Yep. Nope, I hear you.
Or the winter.
Yeah. Or the winter. They don't go far.
Yeah. Well, maybe you mentioned the 1.6 pound ratio. Maybe we should even tax them even more to make up for all the easels. The easels are a unit of destruction on the road. Maybe we take more. But
hit them with the wheel tax, exhaust tax.
This is my question you're talking about.
Lack of exhaust.
What's that?
When you go to renew your plates, they pay, if it's an electric car, they pay more already, don't they?
Yep. Oh, yeah. So there is. They do, but you know.
I'm just asking. So, I mean, that's one thing they do. I don't know what that amount is.
So hybrids, and it's on the DOT website. I don't have it at the top of my head.
Yeah.
But that is
one way they tried to offset it. I think that probably needs to be increased, whether it's a hybrid or all electric. Right. And then the charging stations, and I don't know enough about this. I should know more.
Why wouldn't you learn a lot?
There's a tax on that. Is there a normal sales tax on that?
At the electric vehicle charging station?
Right.
Well, they're talking about, well, no, I mean.
So if I go there and it costs me $20 to get a full charge, am I paying another dollar and
not at this change? Time. I mean, it's going to be a look
only
at.
If they're using natural gas generators to create electricity to charge it.
So right now,
so that's
when I go fill up with gas, I pay a sales tax plus a ton of other excise taxes. Mm-hmm. So when you go in to get electric off a pump at the outlet mall or Festival Foods or Woodman's, you wouldn't know where these are, but they're not paying a sales tax?
No.
And there's size installs, too.
Why aren't they paying a sales tax, do you know?
Because we haven't enacted one yet.
Can we enact one locally? Can you do that locally? You don't.
Well, the state's going to have to do it.
Orange state.
Can we pass a charge for someone to install a charging station,
an annual charge for
inspection?
We could do that through.
I don't think we. No, I think we could do that officially as a permit, but then you have municipalities that don't have county jurisdiction.
Right. Zoning and permitting.
Randall, Brighton, Paris that you could do.
I'm thinking there ain't a whole lot of electric cars out in those three municipalities.
What's that?
I said I'm thinking there's not a whole lot of electric cars.
I'm just saying, I mean, a regular pump that has to go get inspected and everything else, and it monitors. You know,
but the county doesn't control that.
No one's controlling it.
Yeah, right.
I'm just wondering.
Oh, you're just talking.
It's out of ignorance. I'm just asking these questions because I don't know.
It's not considered a sale.
I mean,
it's a utility. It's not.
It's a utility. Yeah. It's a problem. So utilities. If it's set up as a utility, we haven't even passed a law that the private sector can do this yet. We're trying to do that, and with that, then we could start to do something. Right now, essentially, it's free. It's not even a utility because utilities, they don't pay taxes either. It's like a payment in lieu of taxes that we get. We get a share of the
Share of revenue.
Well, that's not shared revenue, but it's basically it's a utility aid payment that the counties get, and the state, they keep most of that too. I'm trying to get larger share for Old Glimmer's too. Another story, but they make utility aid payments to the state, and so we could do that.
Well, I'm just because I know, like personally, I can't get electricity, buy it from We Energies and resell it.
Well,
right. I mean, there's a law against that.
Sure. Right? I mean, the issue is. That,
so are they paying? So I'm trying to figure out how people are actually paying for the electric. Are they paying for, like we just, I don't know, it's different in California, but it just got put on our, we rented a Tesla and we paid it, and then it just went automatically because they know what car it is. However, they know when they plug it in, they identify as what car, and it just got on my rental charge. It just had to be charged.
Well, no, it's California. I mean,
I'm just saying, I'm just curious how.
You know, we haven't really. How that works. It's such a new technology. We just haven't put the regulatory framework in yet. And I think that's something that's coming here in the next year or two as we go forward. We're looking at options.
So, are they going to let Tesla start selling direct in Wisconsin? Because right now there's a law saying they can't. Because you have to sell through a dealership.
I don't know that we're going
to. Complex subject, you have a lot of work to do.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
What's that? It's
complex subject, you have a lot of work to do.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just saying that, I mean, we have to address it at some point.
Sure, yeah, no, they will. You know, I think a lot of these things will be addressed, but because it's a relatively new technology, some have said, well, I think someone here said, why haven't they done this yet? They just haven't got around to it yet. They've been tackling other issues, and it just hasn't been a salient issue, and now it's becoming a more salient issue, and then I think they'll start to address these things. And I'd say, now is the window to do it, is less people have the technology, because if you now establish it and then there's no fee or there's no, you know, there's nothing going to the transportation fund or whatever it is, inspection fee, all the items you bring up, if there's nothing there, and then we add it, let's say in 10 years when maybe 20% of the population, hypothetically, but more of the population, then you're going to have a political problem. Yep. Now you can do it and you're not going to get hit politically, and these are politicians who have to do this, so... That's kind of the deal.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Tesla isn't the only one out there. I mean, everyone else is selling them, so they have the dealerships in place. So we're already selling electric cars through dealerships. It's not just Tesla.
Oh, no, I know. So, but it's just an issue.
But Tesla is the
we're
one
missing
that
out
has
on this.
The most robust charging station.
Yeah.
So,
well, yes and no.
Electric in Wisconsin is still under 3%, so it's
oh,
still
no, no,
small.
There's different ones. It's based on kilowatts.
Right.
To your point, act now, get high.
No, no, I
understand.
We'll avoid the sticker shock later.
So someone did an analogy. He said, you want to beat up your brother before he hits puberty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what you want to do.
Before he can fight back.
Before he can fight back. And that's kind of what you want to do with the electric vehicle. You have to put your regulatory framework in before it becomes a liability politically. Otherwise, no one will want to do it.
Hey, Dan.
That's the report. And we'll come back here this summer and give you another report.
Thank you much. Appreciate that.
Always enjoy coming to Kenosha. Always good to travel.
I'll see you before, probably. You're going to be in Texas in July?
Or? I think so, yeah. So we'll connect, have a drink or something, or a sandwich or whatever you want.
Sandwich, yeah, drinks, no.
Okay.
I'll have the drink.
Okay, cool. You going? You guys all going to NACO?
I think just Gabe's gone.
Okay.
Sure. Good to see you, Dan.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for making a drive.
Okay.
Thanks,
you bet.
Dan.
No problem. Always good.
Okay.
Always good to be with you.
Enjoy KR on the way out.
You bet. I love KR.
Don't speed.
It's a state road now.
Items for future discussion again?
I guess I would just have a question. Are we able to meet potentially early next month so we can get that resolution?
When?
Probably not.
To meet when?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's coming up.
To look on the 22nd.
Well, this one's for July, so if we take it up at our next meeting, we won't have time. Well, let's look. We would meet.
Fourth Thursday is June 22nd.
Yeah.
I'm in July. June 22nd, and then we would meet on the first Tuesday, it's the 4th. I guess we could still. Well, that's the 4th. Are you having that meeting, or are you moving it?
The 4th, we're not going to have a meeting, of course. That's
well,
for
right.
Sure.
Are you moving it? Or
I'm
are you
not
just
sure
cancel
yet.
It?
I'm not sure. It depends on what's going to be there or whatever. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, depends on what's in there.
Right.
It's going to be here. A lot of people might be gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's one of the things that we've got to look into it. I mean, and I don't want to make a decision before, because again, we don't know what's there or if anybody's going to be here, but
sure.
If most of the people are going to be gone, it's not.
We're going to be at your beach house.
Huh?
We're going to be at your beach house. Don't think we don't know about the beach house.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Southport Beach House.
Okay, and then items for future discussion, we can kind of put whatever. Do you guys have any ideas and that you want to put in?
Yeah, I just think an update on the report.
On the riot,
the follow-up on the riots, I think.
Well, that is, I can tell you what's in there pretty much, that is, it's ongoing.
Right.
You know, and but there is no final things. They're interviewing. They were here in town days or whatever, but it was like a couple of weeks ago. We had a meeting with them. Doing the process of going through and nothing official, nothing, you know, that they're saying.
Maybe I don't remember us having this, and maybe it was talked about and I just don't remember. Did they give us like an outline or a timeline of what they'd be doing and when? Yeah. And
that is some, yeah.
Did we get some document like that?
Yeah, well, okay. They did give us, you know, don't ask me what it is,
Dave,
because I don't remember offhand what it is, but yeah, we're shooting something, which again is subject, because now they're having pretty much they're trying to get.
The reason I'm just asking.
They were in town for about 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, get together with
appropriate parties.
Right.
Yeah. I just think it would probably be good for us to get some type of report for them to be able to give an update to the community on, because this is, we're going on 3 years now.
I mean, I guess.
Because it was just like at the last meeting, the county board meeting, someone asked, well, you guys should be doing, report.
Well, it is.
So much of the community has no idea that we've been doing it.
But the report is going on. You cannot go out and divulge, we're doing this, we're doing that.
Oh, no, we can't divulge, but we can just say that it's in process.
And we've been saying that all the time, really.
Yeah.
It's in progress. I don't know what else we can say.
Yeah.
We cannot discuss what they're trying to do.
I think there comes a point where the public needs to be a little public themselves.
You know, because if you say, hey, this is what we're looking for, this model or whatever, so you see all phone calls, hey, they call you or call that, you know, whatever. So the thing is just let them do their work or whatever. And pretty much we did not really talk on what's going on. They just told us how they're coming along, you know, even at the committee. I mean, at the committee, at our discussion, we did not go in details on anything. They just say we're in the process of meeting with community leaders or whatever, but not really discussing
just underway.
What's going on, or what you guys think, you know, from the county, from the whatever.
Sure. Okay, that's what I mean.
But no, it's going on.
Obviously, I've never been through this process, so I'm just curious what that looks like.
It's going on, it's out there and everything, and you know.
I just read an article yesterday about the millions of dollars that the protesters are getting by suing the communities, police, sheriffs and other whoever was in there for when they were rioting and getting hurt. That may be coming down the road too, guys.
Okay, future staging. So it's going to be the 22nd.
What's that?
We have not made anything.
Right, and I'm hoping it'll stay that way. Right now they're in the big cities.
I guess they can start anywhere.
Yeah, they're getting judgments.
Unless something else comes up or whatever, next meeting will be for June 22nd.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
We don't even need a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
We can just walk away.
We can't vote on that motion.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's right.
This was a gathering tonight that we had.
Until Tuesday, boys.
Until Tuesday.
Tuesday, what's
Tuesday? Not this Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Week from Tuesday.
Oh, yeah,
a week from Tuesday.
Still a week from Tuesday.
Well, that's right.
Hey,
yeah, the 20, that's
food.
Yeah.
You guys take it home.